The Gospel of John, chapter number 1, is where we're going to look this morning. I want to preach to you a simple message where we are going to look at several scriptures, though, this morning. And I simply maybe titled the message, Light and Life. Light and Life. These are certainly the theme of these first few verses of the Gospel of John, are the words light and the word life. The word light and the word life. And Jesus is the light, and Jesus is the life. Amen. He's the light, and he's the life. The Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John. And sometimes we refer to the four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But really, they're just kind of four books that really just share one Gospel. Isn't that true? It's just one Gospel. None of them contradict each other. It's one Gospel, but four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And tell us about the one Gospel and the one Savior. In the book of Matthew, we see Jesus as the King. In the book of Mark, we see Jesus as a servant. In the book of Luke, we see the humanity of Jesus, him being the Son of Man. And then in the book of John, we really see his deity emphasized, him as being the Son of God, the Son of Man. It may have been that there was some in that time that doubted Jesus and that doubted that he was really God. And so God uses the Apostle John to write a book here, a gospel here, that plainly declares the deity of Christ, that Jesus was not just a man, he was God, and he is God. Still is. God's word plainly declares it. Let's stand together and John chapter number 1. Let's read a few verses here of scripture together and keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at lots of scriptures today. John chapter 1, let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now the Word is capitalized because it's using like a proper name for someone. So it's a name, and this name Word is being given to Jesus Christ. So he's also called the Word in these verses, okay? "In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use your scriptures this morning to speak to our heart. Help us to see in the scriptures that Jesus truly is God. He's the Word. He is light and he is life. He is the one that can bring light to all men. He is the one that can give life to all men. No one else can do that but Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God and equal with God. Help us to see the truth today. Convict us of it if it's something that maybe we don't believe. Help us to believe in the deity of Christ and see him as the light. See him as the life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know what? God's word, there was an expression for many, many years that went like this. God's word says it. I believe it. That settles it. God's word says it. I believe it. That settles it. But you know what? The truth is, we can just cut out that part of I believe it. Because you know what? If God's word says it, that settles it. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. God's word says it, that settles it. I believe the word of God is true. I believe that what God wrote, what God gave to us, that settles it. That's the truth. Whether I believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, died recently, was it Dawkins or Hawkins or Hawkins or somebody? He was a fairly well-known atheist. Is it Hawkins or Hawkins? I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. See, I don't know his name very well, but I do know the name of Jesus. And this man who was a pretty well-known atheist and God rejecter, listen, it didn't matter if he believed it, it's still true. And you know what? If he never in his life got saved and probably didn't and never came to Christ and probably didn't, listen, the reality is he's in hell today. Because if God's word says it, that settles it. And God's word teaches us, listen, Jesus was not just some ordinary man. He was God. He was equal with God. God's word says it, that settles it. Christ, I want to share with you, and it's not point by point necessarily, but several points. And these, truthfully, these messages I'm going to share with you, are really just things that in my own life, earlier this year, I started just reading and studying the Gospel of John in my daily devotions. And so when I get up in the morning, one of the things I do is I spend a lot of time just reading the Gospel of John. And I'll read some verses and read it over and just meditate on those verses and think about what they say. And so these are just kind of some notes that I jotted down and notes that I wrote down as I studied through the Gospel of John myself. First thing I want to share with you, beginning there in verse number 1, is this thought that Christ existed from the beginning. Christ existed from the beginning. And truthfully, from before the beginning that we know, he is eternal. You know, God is eternal. And how do we explain that? How do we fathom that? Well, God stepped out onto nothing and he created everything back when we've got Genesis 1:1 recorded. God is eternal. So he existed but before even the beginning of creation as we know it, when God created the world. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Again, the Word is referring to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So now it's bringing in both God the Son and God the Father. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus, okay, help me now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Who's that referring to? God the Father, and the Word was God. So it's declaring that Jesus existed, and he's equal with God. First, these thoughts. Christ existed in the beginning. If you can maybe mark John chapter 1, I want you to look over a couple other places with me. Turn to, we're going to look at both John 17 and verse number 5. John 17:5, and we're also going to look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now, 1 John is just a very small little sliver, a little book of the Bible towards the very end of the New Testament. Okay, towards the very end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. I'll read that first. My statement was this: Christ existed in the beginning. Christ existed in the beginning. Christ didn't just come into being, 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. That wasn't the beginning of Jesus Christ. He existed from eternity past. He was with God the Father from eternity past. He existed in the beginning. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the what? Of the Word. Of the Word. Who did John chapter 1 call the Word? Jesus, right? It called Jesus the Word. And here John is writing again and says, that which existed from the beginning, who? Jesus. The living, walking Word of God. That which existed from the beginning. We've heard Him. We've seen Him with our own eyes. And so here's another verse that's saying, listen, Jesus Christ existed from the very beginning. Turn back over to John chapter 17. Okay, the Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse number 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus is talking and saying now, this is, in the time when Jesus walked on the earth and lived both as man and as God, and he was going to end up going to the cross for us and so on. And he prays and says, Father, glorify me now me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know, whether he was referring to the fact that, He would go through what he'd go through. He would go through the suffering. He would go to the cross. He would die for us. But that he would be exalted again. He would be glorified again. He would get to be with his Father again in heaven. But it says about him being from the beginning, being with God the Father before the world even was created. First simple thought was this: Christ existed in the beginning. Christ existed in the beginning. Now, John chapter 1 again. And maybe mark something in your Bible for 1 John as well, because we're going to keep going back and forth between John and 1 John. Okay, beginning there in John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. A second statement I want to share with you is this. Christ was with God the Father. Okay, and this is just simple. Simple ABCs. But as we studied through the scriptures, Christ existed in the beginning. Christ was with God the Father. Back there in 1 John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter 1, in verse 2. We already read verse 1. Verse 2 said this, "For the life was manifested." Remember I said that's another word that we're going to talk about, Jesus this morning? He's the light. He's the life. He's called the Word. Okay, now in 1 John 1 and verse 2 it says, "For the life was manifested." The word manifested means to be made known, to be seen. If you have a manifest on a ship, it has to make a declaration there of what's inside the ship. And Jesus was manifested. The life was manifested. He was seen. It says, "And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So again, it's a plain statement about the fact that Jesus Christ existed in the beginning. And in the beginning, He was with God the Father. He wasn't created in Bethlehem. That wasn't the beginning of Jesus. No, he was from eternity past. He existed in the beginning with God the Father. So Christ existed in the beginning and Christ was with God the Father. Third little statement or thought. Christ also is God the Son. He is God. He's not just the Son in the sense that, you know, he was made by the Father and so on. No, He is God. And we believe in the Trinity. We believe in God in three distinct personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Christ also, He is God the Son. He's not just something less or a lower being or something that was created by God. No, He is God. He is God. He was there at creation. He had a part in creation. So Jesus Christ, He is God the Son. John 1:1 said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was God. The Word is God. Jesus is God. He is equal with God. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 2 and verse number 6, it says this about Him. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Why was it not robbery? Well, because He is God. He is God. Jesus Christ is God. We need to have that fact settled in our hearts. You know, there are some people in this world that don't believe in Jesus as God. They just think that Jesus was a good man, or maybe Jesus was another prophet. No, Jesus was and Jesus is God. And it's important. God's Word says it. That settles it. So I believe it. I believe it. Jesus Christ existed in the beginning. Jesus Christ was with God the Father. Jesus Christ is God the Son. He is equal with God. And then notice another thought. Christ was God in the flesh. Christ was God in the flesh. When Jesus came down to earth and He was born in Bethlehem, that wasn't the beginning of Him. That wasn't the creation of Him. But that was Him coming down and becoming God in the flesh. The word Emmanuel in the Bible means what? God with us. And Christ became flesh. Jesus Christ came down to man. God became flesh for us. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Are you there? The Bible says, "And the Word." Now, who's the Word? The Word is Jesus, right? John 1 already said that, verse 1. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The Word was made flesh. God, from heaven, God came down and took upon Himself flesh. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. Turn with me over to Colossians, the book of Colossians. It's about halfway through your New Testament, perhaps, after the books of Romans and Corinthians. You'll find some other of the epistles that Paul wrote. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Our statement was this, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is the image of the invisible God? Now, why does it say invisible God? Well, have you seen God the Father? You know, have you been to heaven? Have you seen God the Father? No, you've never seen him. You've never seen him. But what happened? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we got to behold his glory. We got to see him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Colossians 1, the statement is made that he became the image. He became someone that we could see. He became God on earth, God that we could see, the image of the invisible God that we couldn't see, God the Father in heaven. So we see that Jesus Christ became God in the flesh. When Jesus Christ walked the earth, he wasn't just a man, he was God at the same time. You say, well, what was he? Was he 50% God, 50% man? No. Here's some math that'll blow you. He was 100% man and 100% God. He was able to experience, you know, the pains and suffering of man. He faced temptation. He knew what it was like to suffer and hunger. But at the same time, he was completely God. And that's the only way he could live the perfect sinless life that he did. If he was a man, he would have committed sin like we do. And he could not have died and been our Savior. So Jesus Christ was really, literally God in the flesh. I want you to notice another thought. Keep Colossians. Keep your finger in Colossians because we're going to be back there in a moment. And go back to John chapter 1 and notice what it says in verse number 3. John chapter 1 and verse 3. Again, this is talking about the Word. This is talking about Jesus Christ. It says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Did Jesus have a part in creation? Yes, he did. It wasn't an act of God the Father all by himself. No, God the Father, God the Son, and I believe God the Holy Spirit too, all had a part in creation. And we'll look at that. Christ had a part in creation. Notice what it says back in Colossians 1 and verse number 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. It says, for by him were all things created. By him, by who? The image of God. The Jesus who came down, who was made flesh. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So Jesus Christ, clearly, the Bible declares, had a part in creation. Go back to John chapter 1. Go back to John chapter 1 and verse number 10. John 1, 10. He was in the world and the world was what? Made by him. He was in the world and the world was made by him. The Word, Jesus Christ, had a part in creation. Keep your place in John 1, but go back to the book of Genesis, very first book of the Bible. What does the word Genesis mean? The word Genesis has to do with origins or beginnings. And it tells us about the beginning of the world that we know, the beginning of the earth, the beginning. So it tells us about creation. And it tells us about how God, our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, how they created this universe. They created this world. They made everything that's in the world. They made the first man, the first woman. The Word was there and the Word had a part in creation. What does the Bible say? Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. Genesis 1 verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, all capitalized, really referring to the Holy Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. And God, what's that next word? Said. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I don't think it's doing an injustice to say when the Bible talks over and over and over repeatedly in Genesis 1 and so on, and God said, let there be light.
And God said, let there be waters. And God said, and every time God spoke, something was created in John chapter 1. What do you speak? You speak the word. You speak the word. Was it Jesus Christ who spoke that word? Jesus Christ, he is the word. Listen, God, and the New Testament already plainly declares it. All things were made by him, made by Jesus. Listen, even there in Genesis, it's clear. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all there. They all had a part in creation. God spoke his word, and it was created. It was done. It was so, the Bible says. So I want these thoughts. Christ existed in the beginning. Christ was with God the Father. Christ, he is God the Son. He's equal with God. Christ became God in the flesh. Jesus Christ had a part of creation. And then I want you to see something else in John chapter 1 and verse number 4. And I said sort of the theme of our message would be that Jesus Christ is light and Jesus Christ is life. For just a few minutes more, let me focus on those two thoughts, that Jesus Christ is light and Jesus Christ is life. In John chapter 1, and notice verse number 4. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This simple little thought, Jesus Christ is the source of life. Jesus Christ is the source of life. Where does life come from? From him. From him. It said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ, he is the source of life. He is the one that gives life. Remember what verse 3 said? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who was it that made us? It was God. I was talking to a lady yesterday that I was witnessing to, Stephanie. And I recall in our conversation with her, I said, you know, and it was God that made me. You know, she had religion, she had a lot of things. But I said, really, the only thing that matters is you're going to answer to the God who created you, the God who made you. Listen, God is the one who gives life. He is the giver of life. John 1 verse 3. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look back there if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You notice we keep coming back to certain passages of Scripture where the Bible, in different places, repeats these same truths and teaches us about Christ and how he created the world and he is life and he created this world and so on. Notice what the Bible says in the next verse, following what we read before, Colossians 1:17. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. By him all things are held together. By him. Listen, he is the one that gives life. He is the one that gives life. He's the one that gives physical life. He's the one that created man and woman. He's the one that gives life. There's not a child that's born into this world that Jesus Christ. You know, he's the one that gives life. He gives life. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse number 7. I'm already there, so let me read it to you. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You say, what is man? Man was nothing more than God just gathering together some dirt. God gathering together some of the dust of the ground. The Bible says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God took some of the dust and dirt that he created, and he formed it together. And God breathed into man, breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. Who is it that gives life? It's him. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of life. He gives life. But I want you to notice another thought. He doesn't just give life. He gives eternal life. He gives eternal life. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Because you know what? Life on this earth, because of sin, is not forever, is it? Because of sin, men die. Because of sin, we don't live forever. Men get sick, people die. Someone died Easter Sunday on Stouffville Road. A lady died there.
car accident. People died in hospitals this week. People died in nursing homes this week. That life on earth may be temporary, but you know what? God gives eternal life. Jesus Christ gives eternal life. Look at a couple of verses with me. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I am so glad that Jesus gives eternal life. I'm glad he gives eternal life, Miss Ava. I'm glad he gives eternal life. Miss Ava went down to El Salvador, and many times in her culture, you know, it's common to a family to go back a year after someone passes away, and there's some mourning and so on that takes place. But I've talked with Miss Ava, and Miss Ava got saved. She herself chose to trust Christ as her Savior just this last summer. But as in our conversations, I found out that her mom had started going to a Christian church way before. And Miss Ava's mother actually had become a believer. I believe that Miss Ava's mother had gotten saved and trusted Christ. So you know what, Miss Ava, your mom's life, her physical life may have ended, you know, 15 months ago or so. But Christ has given her eternal life. And she's in heaven now. And you can rejoice in that fact. It's not the end. You'll see her again one day. Jesus Christ gives eternal life. What does the Bible tell us? John chapter 11 and verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I believe in the resurrection of the dead, and I believe in eternal life. And it's Jesus that gives eternal life. Turn over a few more pages. Look at John chapter 17, if you would. John chapter 17. And notice with me there verses 1 to 3. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Listen, we can have eternal life through trusting Jesus Christ, through believing on Jesus Christ, through making him our personal Savior. He gives eternal life. He gives everlasting life. Turn over again to towards the end of your Bible to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. And we'll look there at a few verses. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 John 4 and verse 9. It says, 1 John 4, 9. In this was manifested, again that means completely made known, shown, visible, seen by everybody. In this was seen, was shown, was made known, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We live through him. We live through him. We experience life through him. She's up there today, isn't she, Paul? She's in heaven today. We have eternal life. Why? Because if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we've believed on him, he gives us everlasting life. He gives us eternal life and we'll never perish. We have eternal life if we've believed on Jesus Christ. He gives eternal life. Notice what it says in chapter 5, 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That's how we get it. We get it through his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God, very sadly, hath not life. Down in verse number 20, 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what? Eternal life. If you know the Son of God, if you believed on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. This is life. We receive eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. But if you don't know him, if you don't have him dwelling in you, if you don't know the Son of God, then you don't have eternal life. You may have life,
You're sitting here today, I think you're alive, but you may not have eternal life if you don't have his son, if you don't know Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one that gives life, and he gives eternal life. He is the source of life. But notice also that he is life. Stay right there in 1 John chapter 1. And it made the statement back in John that he is life and the life is the light of men. But notice what it says here in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1 verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So Jesus Christ is life, and Jesus Christ is the source of life. He's the one that gives physical life. He's the one that gives eternal life. And if you don't know the Son, then you don't know eternal life. You don't have it. Jesus Christ is the life. Turn back with me to John chapter 1 if you would. John chapter 1. I said that Jesus is the light and the life. We focused on that thought of Jesus being life and the source of life, and he gives life and he gives eternal life. But notice also this thought quickly, that Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light. John chapter 1 and verse number 4 said this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Turn over to, look first at John 1 and verse 9. John 1 verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. You found it? It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He declares, I'm the light. I'm the light. And if you're following me, You're going to have the light in you as well. Notice what the Bible says in John 9 and verse 5. John 9, 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ, he is the light. Jesus Christ is the light, and he gives light to men. To those that will believe in him. To those that will follow him. Notice what it says in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 46. John chapter 12 and verse number 46. It says, I am a light come into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Christ came into the world, and Matthew tells us, Matthew 4, that he came to give light to those that sit in darkness. The reality is that when we are, as man, we are sinful man. The Bible teaches us we're sitting in darkness. We're lost in darkness. But who is it that can bring light into our life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll believe on him, we no longer have to sit in darkness. We no longer have to walk in darkness. We don't have to dwell in darkness. Why? Because Jesus Christ, who is the light, can dwell in us and give us light. Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is life. And he's the source of life. He gives life. He gives eternal life. He gives light to men, to those that will believe and follow him. So I want to close the message with these simple thoughts. I want you to go back to John chapter 1 with me. John chapter 1. What I said is all true. God's word says it. And so that settles it. And I believe it. I hope you'll believe it. The reality is, you've got to believe in Jesus, that he's God, to be saved. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, you really can't trust him as your Savior. What power would he have to save you? You know, you've got to believe that he existed from the beginning, and that he is God. And when he came into the world, he was the Word becoming flesh. All that, you've got to believe all that to be saved. Christ is life, and he is the source of life. Life, physical life, and eternal life. He's the light. But notice something exciting that happens here. And we're gonna keep calling this the Gospel of John, not the book of John. Why? Because this is a book full of the Gospel.
full of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the light and life of men. I want you to see something here. But how God uses a man by the name of John the Baptist to help point people to Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and let's read verses 6 to 9. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is not the John who God used to record this gospel, the book of John. It was another man, maybe about 100 AD, somebody that had seen Jesus and so on, one of the apostles who God used to write this book. But this is referring to a man that we call John the Baptist, maybe the last of the Old Testament prophets, who was a forerunner of Jesus to help point people to Jesus. And it says, there was a man sent from God. He was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Some of you know the story. Whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of who? Witness of what? Witness of the light. Witness of Jesus. God sent a special man into the world, and John the Baptist, he was going to help to point everybody to the light. He wasn't there to take glory for himself or get followers for himself. He was just trying to point them, hey, here's the light. Here's the life. Here's the Lamb of God. Here's the one that can save you. And John the Baptist came to be a witness of that light. Notice verse 7 again. That's the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's referring to Jesus, of course. John the Baptist was there to help to point people to Jesus Christ. He was to help to show people that through believing on Jesus, they could have eternal life. Through believing on Jesus, they could have the light. They could have the light. John the Baptist was sent to point people to the light, to point people to Jesus. You know something? We too need to be little lights, if I can say it that way. We need to be little lights, don't we? We need to be little lights like John the Baptist was, pointing people to the true light, that is Christ, that is Jesus. Little lights that are pointing others to Jesus. Little lights that are shining. Little lights that are pointing people to the true light. Little lights that are pointing people to Jesus Christ. Turn with me to one passage of scripture here, if you would. And this is where we'll finish. Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us about how God took a man named Saul and changed his life. On the road to Damascus, he met Christ. He had been a religious man, a Pharisee, one of the Jews, very devout, but he hated those people that followed Christ. And on the road to Damascus, he's blinded, and he hears a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, how is he persecuting Jesus? Well, all that he'd been doing to be in defiance to those that wanted to follow Christ and believe on Christ. He got changed that day. He met Jesus. The Bible tells the story of how his life was changed. He received his sight again. Of course, he got converted. He got saved. And he became a light. The Bible talks about Paul. Saul, his name changed to Paul. He became a light. He shared the gospel. He became a light to the Gentiles. He became a light to, he would always try to reach the Jews as well, but he became a light for Christ. That's what John the Baptist was like too. He was just a light helping to point people to the true light, Jesus Christ. What does the Bible tell us to be in Matthew 5? Matthew 5, 14, look at it. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is actually addressing us. This is addressing believers. It's written to us. It's written to us now saying, hey, we're supposed to be light in the world. If you know the true light, you've got the light in you. You've got Jesus Christ in you. Hey, we're supposed to be little light shining for Jesus. We're to be like John the Baptist. We're to be witnesses helping to point people to the true light, helping to point people to Jesus Christ. Because what can Jesus do? He can give them light. Jesus can give them life. He can give them eternal life. We need to be little lights. Hey, why should we be lights for Jesus? Why should we share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why should we shine the light to others? Why shine the light of the gospel? Well, how about because Jesus Christ, He does forgive sins. Why should we be little lights? How about because Jesus Christ, He does save sinners from hell. Why should we be little lights? How about because Jesus is able to give people eternal life and a home in heaven? Oh, there's a good reason for us to be little lights. Blinking, flashing for Jesus, shining the light everywhere we go. Like Paul became a light. Like John the Baptist was a little light, pointing people to the true light. Listen, you and me, we need to be lights for Jesus. And what are we supposed to do with that light? Hide it under a bushel? Remember Matthew 5 said, no. You don't light a candle and then put it under a bushel. What would that do? That just would snuff the light out. Don't be ashamed of the light. Don't cover the light. Don't hide the light. Be light. Be light in your workplace. Be light in your neighborhood. Be light to your family. Be light to those in the community. Let's be little lights, helping to point people to the true light, Jesus Christ. Because you know what? If people will believe on Him, their sins can be forgiven. If people will believe on Him, they can be saved from hell and have a home in heaven. They can have eternal life. They can have everlasting life. They can be born again into God's family. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Listen, we become a part of God's family, God's children, home in heaven, guaranteed, when we believe on Jesus. I'm glad I believed on Jesus. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. I'm glad somebody else shined the light into my life so that I got to see Jesus and I got to learn about Jesus. Christ is the one that gives life, and Christ is the one that gives light. Let's make sure that we too are being little lights to help point others to Jesus, right? Point others to the true light. Because the Bible made it clear in all the verses we studied. If we believe, He'll give us eternal life. If we're believing and following Him, what does He do? He gives light. He gives light. I'm glad I know Him, and I want other people to know Him too. Don't you? Don't you want other people to know Him? Jesus Christ is the only way the person can have light and life. He's eternal, and He's the one that can give eternal life to man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Father, for giving us Your Son. Your Son could have just stayed with You, remaining exalted, remaining in glory, remaining at Your side. But because You loved Your creation so much, a part of You, a part of our God, God the Son, became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because of You, because of Jesus, we got to understand the love of God. And because of Jesus, we get to have eternal life. And because of Jesus, we get to have light. Thank You, Lord, that I don't have to sit in darkness today because the light came into my life. Lord, there's a lot of people sitting in darkness in our town. And they need somebody to help bring the light into their life. Please use us, Lord, to be the lights You want us to be.